The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcasting Network. Geeky programming for all the nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcast community forums and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Podcast episode 26. I am Dylan, and across the pond is what are you guys' names again? The stupid awesome analyst John.
Hello.
The hard man with harder opinions Andrew.
Hello.
And the fangirl Victoria.
Hi.
Man, Dylan, you're trying to like do this in record time now.
It sounded like you're actually just making like a recorded log of it, like a Captain Kirk kind of a way. Episode 26, Wicked Anime.
I should just record that and play that on like an actual recording device into
like
the microphone each time.
Yeah.
Like the That Was Easy button.
Yeah. I'll just get Siri to say it.
Good start.
Yep.
Listen again.
It always is.
It always is. Hit the ground running.
Yeah.
It gives people a chance to be like, do I really want to listen to this?
Yeah.
No. I'm jogging. Is this something that needs to be heard right now? I assume people listen to this while jogging.
Why can't you multitask?
No.
Wow. Okay, guys.
But there's two of you.
I've never gotten the twin, though. That was scary.
Play with us.
It's time to ring the news bell.
News!
So we don't have a lot of news this week. We have a couple interesting things to go over, though. First piece of news is that the first trailer was released for the new Godzilla movie.
Godzilla!
It made that sound. Did you also notice that they added, like, the brah at the end of like, whenever he roars?
No.
The trailer looks awesome, though.
Most trailers have brongs in them now.
Yeah, I know that, but it's like they actually added it to his roar because do you remember War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise and the ships made like that and then it had like a little afterwards at the end. It's kind of like that, except with the Godzilla roar first.
Uh huh.
It's like a reverb.
Yeah.
More reverb!
Maybe Godzilla was just watching Inception.
It was really foggy in that, so it was very possible he had like a little pocket TV.
Yeah, he could have been watching it on a Jumbotron or something.
Or a little pocket TV in his short Godzilla arms. Actually, he's got some pretty big arms, so...
Yeah. What did you guys think of the trailer?
I thought it looked awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely not going to be Matthew Broderick Godzilla, that's for sure.
I know, it looked way darker than any of the earlier iterations I had seen.
Yeah.
Because, like, there was just that one shot of the destroyed train with, like, hundreds of dead bodies on the ground.
That was... What's up with movies and, like, mass killings of people nowadays? They did it in Superman, they did it in Star Trek, they're doing it in this trailer. It's like, what's with all the dead people?
Yeah, everybody must die.
Movie genocide. And then also the weird thing that I saw at the beginning of the trailer was that, like, is Godzilla dead at the beginning of the trailer?
No, that was the monster he killed. Like,
there's going to be multiple kaiju in it.
Yeah, so, like, the way that, like, he always, like, in every movie it's about a specific giant monster.
That I did not know.
Yeah. So, like, that was just being like, see, he just kicked that monster's butt. He's like, you take that monster.
He's apparently going to have a couple different, giant enemies in the film.
That's awesome. Are there going to be Hanna-Barbera cartoon people on a boat that call him to action?
Godzilla! Godzilla!
And Godzuki.
Godzuki.
I hope so. But I really don't.
It's got a cool cast, too. The Cran Man's in it.
Heck yeah, Bryan Cranston. This is going to be awesome. He's going to be like, Godzilla, we need to cook.
Isn't that funny that that's what Bryan Cranston's turned into? Like, he's not the dad from Malcolm in the Middle anymore.
Yeah, he's Walter White.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
But he's awesome. Bryan Cranston's just awesome, so... even though he was in Total Recall.
Do you think that...
Was he?
Yeah, he was in the remake of Total Recall, and he was like...
He had a lot of cameos in films the past couple years.
Yeah.
I think just because he's been this popular.
Yeah, he has.
Just spam all the Bryan
Cranston. Yeah, he'll be Bryan Cranston in movies forever now because of Walter White.
Yep. Now, do you think that he's going to take on the role of a military person that's going to do more destruction to the city than Godzilla?
Like the way like Japan is just like, oh, we have the space laser to kill Godzilla. Boom! Oh, it didn't kill him, but Japan is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I would love to see him in that role. Like, because there's in every single Godzilla movie, there's always a over the top, like, oh, we have to stop him with this crazy thing, and it never works.
Yeah,
that's probably going to be him.
And then somebody's like, how about we try friendship? And they're all like, shut up.
Godzilla can't be friends. He doesn't play nice. And then one of the Olsen, the new Olsen
The talented Olsen twin?
Yeah.
Elizabeth Olsen?
Elizabeth Olsen, she's going to be in
it. She was in Silent House.
Yep, and that was an awesome movie that nobody saw, but it was awesome.
And she's going to be an old boy.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, one of the things that I was really excited to find was that what's his name? I totally forget his name now. The director of Monsters is directing this movie. So, like,
yeah.
Monsters was his first film, and Godzilla is his next big movie. So he went from like really, really awesome indie movie to probably going to be really awesome Godzilla movie.
Yeah, Monsters was a really cool science fiction indie film.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was really well done.
Yeah, I didn't expect that movie to be what it was.
So, I trust him.
Yeah, Godzilla, I think Godzilla is going to be a great movie.
Speaking
yeah, it's looking that way.
Of movies now, though, our next bit of media news is CZ12, which had a trailer released about it. It's a new Jackie Chan film that he is creating. Dylan, do you want to field this one?
He now holds the world record for most credits in a film, like substantial movie credits in a film, because of this movie. He played 15 major roles. He was, I'm not going to be able to remember all of them. It's director, writer, composer, fight choreographer, actor, executive producer, and producer. I don't know how he did both of those. I would just think one is the same.
He's just like, I'm the producer. This is what we're going to do. And he goes, no, Jackie Chan producer. I'm executive producer. This is what we're going to do.
I think I even remember him being on, like, the craft services. Like, he got a credit in that or
that
something.
Is
like,
awesome.
It was just crazy.
He probably just has, like, a Jackie Chan cookbook that he gave to all those chefs and then lays, like, I'm the server.
Yeah, but it's
or he like microwaved noodle cups and gave everybody to the crew. It's like, that's what we're eating for this entire production.
It could have been it. He wanted to do that so bad. He just had to make the one thing he knew how to make.
Yeah.
And was like, everyone eat this.
Craft server.
Did you guys watch the trailer? Because it looks absurd.
Yes, I did watch the trailer.
And I actually didn't yet. I haven't watched it yet.
Victoria, you probably haven't seen it either, have you?
It's like...
I'm just going to sit here quietly while you guys have your boy moments.
Okay, well, prepare to brace yourself.
No, I haven't.
I guess you need to watch more Jackie Chan! It's about him tracking down relics.
I'll watch it when you two force me to watch it.
I guess, like, Chinese ancient relics that have been stolen, and I think he's trying to gather all of them. And there's, I think, 12 heads for the Zodiac symbols.
Yeah.
And it's like a typical, like, him tracking them down, fighting people. And then all of a sudden he's, like, in a luge suit covered in wheels going down a road fighting the military.
I did see that. I didn't see that.
And then, there's, like, explosions that ensue. And then they're on a log riding through the jungle. And their faces are painted.
Yeah.
And then they're skydiving into a volcano.
Yeah, it seems like this movie is just like one long action scene. Like that's what it's going to be. They're gonna do the exposition at the beginning of the movie, what they're going after, and then it's just like Jackie Chan goes after all 12 things in a row.
He's gonna wheel suit into the Amazon onto that log, and then it's gonna go off a waterfall where he rips it off, and then they skydive into the volcano.
Yeah, it's.
Did you also notice that like half the trailer was in Chinese or Cantonese, rather?
Well, wasn't the speaking roles? Oh yeah, no, yeah, that's right. Well, when he was just speaking, it was in Cantonese. But when he was talking to the one white dude, he was speaking in English, and by English, I mean he called him a scumbag.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That was a cool scene, because like,
yeah, that was cool.
The fight scene that they did, they do an entire fight scene without leaving a couch.
Yeah, he's like, I could, like, kick your ass without leaving this couch, and Jackie Chan's like, show me.
Yeah, and then it shows a couple scenes of them, like, fighting on the couch, and it's so Jackie Chan. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think this is the film that prevented him from being in the next Expendables, because he just had such a huge commitment to it. Because
he had so much to do.
Exactly, yeah. He's got to write music.
He's got to microwave noodle cups. Yeah, he's like...
Get the fights going.
Guys, Expendables sounds awesome, but I'm making this movie, you see. Next up in media news, Docomo Company in Japan unveils an instant translator glasses.
Yeah, they said...
It's a pair of glasses that instantly translates anything that you look at, like words on a menu or a screen, and translates it to whatever language you prefer.
That's handy.
Yeah, they said that they would like to get it finished by the 2020 Tokyo Olympics so that, you know, all the foreigners that come in can... read everything, like, without having to deal with any issues, which is a pretty awesome idea. I just wish it wasn't all the way until 2020.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that's a great idea, you know what I mean? Like, it's we're getting that much closer to getting a babblefish.
Yeah, like, it's...
If anybody doesn't know that joke, that was a Hitchhiker's Guide from the Galaxy joke, to the Galaxy.
Yeah, and as it actually says in one of the articles, is they actually say... Minority Report. Like, yeah. It's just like, hey, look, Minority Report all over this place. It's really funny, because I don't even think Star Trek had this kind of technology.
I just found it funny that you're like, I don't even think Star Trek had this kind of technology. Like, that's the bar.
Isn't it, though? Because Star Trek had tablets and smartphones and...
It also had that really weird helmet that Spock had to wear.
Yeah.
Like a siren on it, and it had his name. I don't know if that was actually in it. I just saw a random photo of it. I have no idea if that's a real thing.
We don't have very many Star Trek fans here at Wicked Anime. We don't actually know what the goings-ons is.
We actually liked
James liked Star Trek.
We actually liked the J.J. Abrams movies.
They didn't have that technology in Star Trek. No!
So that's it for media news. Let's move on to some gaming news, which the gaming news is just primarily about Pokemon X and Y coming out.
We could actually also talk about that one game. I really wish I remember the name of it. Where...
Oh, Fighting Climax.
Yeah, Fighting Climax, where Japan is releasing yet another game where they mashed up a whole bunch of crossover animes, which I am really disappointed that we don't get games like that here in America. Because, I mean, obviously they wouldn't sell well, but they would sell really well with the fans. Because this game literally has index characters, you know, Scientific Indexer or Scientific Railgun. Those characters, the Fate characters, and Ori Emo characters.
They also have Sword Art Online characters.
Oh, yeah, and that's right, yeah. Asuna was in some of the screenshots, so yeah. So they have, like, this mashup of really crazy characters in a fighting game. And I was just like... I really want to play that. I would love to play that game, but I know I never will, because Japan.
Yeah.
You could import a copy.
Probably.
It seems like the mashup games are kind of like an ongoing trend now. Like, it's weird that that Super Smash Bros. Was kind of the entity to take on that role as the crossover thing, you know, with the Nintendo fighting, and now it's become a little bit more prominent. Like, they have this one, the Fighting Climax one. They also have Shonen Jump Versus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's...
Which came after Shonen Jump All-Stars. So there was a 2D version that was on the 3DS, or the DS.
Which I really wanted to play.
Yeah, which was... But now they have a new one that's coming out for the PlayStation 3 that's adding all the major players. It's got, you know, One Piece characters. It's got Bleach characters. It's got Toriko characters. It has Madoka Box characters. Just all of the craziness.
I stopped paying attention, and then I heard One Piece characters. So back now.
Well, that's why I'm wondering if they have if they're having the JoJo characters back too, because JoJo was in or Jotaro was in the first one in All Stars. Yeah. I really wanted to play that. Actually, Kenshiro was too.
Yeah, but I wonder if we are going to start getting things like that, because like what we talked about last week, Steam greenlit the Higurashi visual novels, and just the fact that anime is becoming a little bit more prominent nowadays. You know, I mean, we have...
Thanks to Attack on Titan.
Yeah, we have simulcasting animes that come over here, like, the day that they're released in Japan as well. You know, we have all this stuff coming out that's so prominent that maybe we are actually going to start to see these games.
So, so that was cool. That's part of gaming news. But Pokemon XY, by the time this gets released, it will be out. So we're kind of hoping that Jonathan and I will be working on something once we get our copies of Pokemon X and Y.
I wish I had a 3DS. Yeah, I'll be getting X. Get one.
Yeah, I was just about to ask, which one are you guys getting?
Shut
Dylan
up!
Doesn't care.
I'd play it if I had the 3DS, yeah. But I'm not gonna buy that.
Dylan, it's only $170 that you need to drop for the system, and then you need to buy the $40 game. Come on.
Oh, my God.
Though I will say...
Tough economy, man. Tough economy.
Though I will say that as far as, like, a gaming system goes, because I don't have time to play, like, the bigger gaming systems anymore, like, I don't have time to turn on my PS3 and sit down and play a game, really, you know, take up the TV and, you know, because while I'm working and everything like that... Playing the 3DS is much better because you can just pop it open, turn it on, play for a little while, then turn it off. You can even just put it to sleep without you know, shutting your game off, and you can just turn it back on when you want to. So it's...
Well, I have a DS. It's just not a fancy 3D one.
You should turn it into a 3DS. You should get the 2D. Well, you should get the 2DS. There you go.
You just get some 3D glasses, glue them to the screen.
Well, 3DS. My DS is, like, really bulky. Like, the first DS that they came out with is pretty much what I have.
Wonderful.
So I'm not going to get much if I try and turn that in.
You could, like I just said, you could get the 2DS, which is like the child's play version of the 3DS. You won't have fun.
Guys are mean.
No, did you actually, if you watch the TV spots for Pokemon XY that are on, that are coming out now, they actually say, like, now available, or available to play on 3DS and 2DS. Like, they're actually including the 2DS in all their new release commercials now.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because as far as I've seen it, the 2DS has had no exposure.
Nope.
Like, nobody knows it's coming out, except for people who are reading news articles on the internet.
We talked about it.
Yeah.
That's
where they know it.
That's how far the extent goes. Well, I got it from Kotaku, so.
Yeah, but other than that, like, nobody's like, oh, I gotta go buy a 2DS. And, like, there's no, like, TV commercials for it or anything like that that I've seen.
Yeah, so certainly the market that they're trying to hit, which is the 7 and under group, like, clearly parents aren't gonna know about it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's going to be a little... It's
all
be a little
all it takes is one kid in elementary school to have it, and then all the other kids are like, hey, man, I want to get me one of those.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
And then you have, like, the rich kid that's like, I have a 3DS! And they all hate him.
And they can't see that he's actually dying on the inside. Because his parents don't love him.
They buy things for him, and that's how they love him. Aww.
Yep.
This is really, really sad all of a sudden. we're talking about hypothetical rich kids.
And their sadness. Sad. Why can't they give us the money?
He's probably okay.
And that is a callback to last episode.
I'm sure he's fine.
I'm sure he's fine. all right, so that's about it. We'll probably talk more about Pokemon XY when we've actually played it a little bit more.
Yep.
Is that it for gaming news?
That's it for gaming news.
Guess what, guys? We don't have any strange news, and I blame you. You did not send us any, which is totally untrue. We always seek that out ourselves. But, so yeah, sorry, we don't have any strange news this week.
And that's as strange as it gets.
And that's as strange as it gets. However, what we can talk about is the new fall season of anime.
Yep, because it's time to talk about what we're watching, and we are watching a lot.
Yes, we are watching a very lot.
Oh, you guys are.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
But the thing is too, we're not gonna talk extensively about it. We're just gonna say, hey, I'm watching this because we're gonna do a lot of new video reviews for it because there are a lot of really good. There's a lot of really good content this season. A lot that are on our list that I just don't have time to watch.
For starters, I'm going to talk about the one that I've been dying to talk about, which is Kill la Kill.
Yeah, which is Studio Trigger.
Yeah, Studio Trigger, director Hiroyuki Imachi, who's my favorite. He's done Dead Leaves, he did Gurren Lagann, he was the animation director for Fooly Cooly.
He did Little Witch Academia.
He did not.
I know. That was just Studio Trigger.
Yeah.
Studio Trigger's badass.
Yeah, he's my favorite director of all time in the anime world anyways. And it is just everything that you hope for. It's if you know Hiroyuki Imashi, you know what you're going to get out of this. And it's just this transfer student goes to this school where it's like about crazy violent people.
Well, it says you know, in the beginning of the episode where like Lord Hitler took over, right? Lord Hitler won. So like it's like about a world about like neo-Nazis and like everybody is like uniform.
Yep. And it takes place in the school. There's different levels of star students, and they have these uniforms that they're called Goku uniforms.
Yeah.
And when you get, depending on how many stars you have, the more strong you become because the uniforms change your strength level.
Yeah, and quite literally, people with lower star uniforms cannot beat, like, physically, like, cannot physically hurt somebody in a higher, like, even if they punch them, they cannot physically hurt them with a if they have a higher star level.
Yeah. And so the show is about this transfer student girl who comes to the school for the first time because she's seeking out a weapon that was stolen from her father when she was killed, which is the other half of this giant pair of scissors. And so her weapon of choice in the anime is one half of this giant pair of scissors that she fights people with, which to me is just like, sure, why not?
Yeah. You know,
it's... What if she fights a rock?
Yeah.
Blah, blah.
But the animation style is exactly how you would imagine it. It's just like blur lines everywhere and crazy over-the-top drawings. Like the first time you see the main bad guy, he kicks in a classroom door and they make him like,
well, he's not the main bad guy. He's like number two.
Yeah, but he like kicks in the door and like his foot is the size of the door. And then, like, he walks into the classroom and he's like, trying to squeeze his way through the door because he's this humongous, like, character monster of a man.
I was laughing the whole time. I thought the humor was spot on. It was really funny.
Yeah. Like, the opening scene where he's looking for the student that he's going after to turn him into a one-star uniform. And the student smoke bombs the room and it starts running down the stairs. And every time he reaches a new floor, he passes by a window and the guy...
And the guy jumped out the window.
Yeah, the headmaster is, like, free-falling. You can see him free-falling past the window and he's laughing, like, every time. So you see him, like, run down the stairs and ha ha ha! And then, like, he gets to the front door and the headmaster is right there, like, and he kicks the crap out of him. Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah, it was really funny. I really super enjoyed that anime. It's gonna be awesome.
So that was my top pick from the new season of anime.
I don't really have a top pick from the season of anime. So the ones I'm watching are Outbreak Company. They, like, Japan discovers another realm that goes into, like, a fantasy realm. And they hire this otaku kid to be like, oh, you're our ambassador for this world. And you have to make all these elven people otakus. Like, I was like, really? That's hilarious. And so it's a harem anime, obviously. And there's like a cat girl, animal girl in it. And so I was like, yeah, I'll watch this. But it was funny. I watched the first episode. It was funny. Then I watched Nagi no Ascara. Which is a shoujo anime, and I didn't really know that. I just kind of watched the first episode, and I was like, I think this is a shoujo anime. I might be watching a shoujo anime. This is a shoujo anime. So I don't know if I'm going to continue watching that, because it's not really marketed towards me, but it was good.
You could tell me what it's about.
It's about a boy and a girl.
It's about...
Yeah. And it's about how humans used to live in the ocean, and some humans didn't want to live in the ocean anymore. So there's humans that live in the ocean, and there's humans that live on dry land. And there's a group of four students that want to go up to the or they don't want to. Their middle school gets shut down under the sea, so they have to go to a middle school on land, to a land thing. And they're like, oh, we don't want these kids to be here because they're from the ocean. And then there's, like, these, like, weird romantic tensions where it's, like, this girl likes this guy, but the guy is obviously, like, well, like, very shoujo-esque, you know, it's...
Which means I'll probably end up watching it.
Yeah, just watch it. It's called Nagi no Ascara. It's, you'll totally think it's cute. Actually, it's right up your alley. It is straight up your alley.
You,
like,
guys should,
it's calling
type it
out
to
you.
Send it to me so I know.
Okay, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, So I watched that. I watched the first episode of that. Now, one of them that I want to talk about that everybody's talking about right now is an anime called Log Horizon. It's about 30,000 people who logged into an online game and are stuck in that online game.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
So now what I'm wondering is there's a lot of people like, oh, this is a Sal ripoff. Rah, rah, rah. And so, and yeah, I get that, because that was the first thing I thought too. But it's based off of a light novel, I believe. So I'm wondering if this actually came out first, maybe, and just not the anime version of it. You know,
we haven't done.
So yeah, we haven't. Research. I haven't done any research on it yet. I haven't even watched it. I know where I can get the first episode, and I'm really interested in watching it. So I'm probably going to watch the first episode of it to just see what it is, because believe it or not, I still have not watched Sword Art Online, so this is going to be my first exposure to something like this, you know, which is just hilarious, that I think. But I know all about Sword Art Online and stuff like that. And then there's another anime, which I'm absolutely 100% going to do a review on, called Seki no Ishiban, which is another girl fight anime, which is probably going to have zero story, all boobs. And it's about girls who, you know, in like a female wrestling league, and like they're all wearing crazy boob costumes, and it's just, I want to watch it just based on the, it's probably going to be terrible, and I'm going to make an awesome review off of it.
And then the last one was Copa Leon, which has gotten a lot of praise so far, which is a Japanese schoolgirl anime, but it takes place in the apocalypse.
They are impervious to radiation, so they can be in radiated areas without being hurt.
Yeah, and it just kind of it gives off like this Mad Max vibe.
Yeah, kind of. So that's another one. We haven't watched the first episode of it yet, but we will eventually. It's probably going to be on Crunchyroll.
So what was that one called?
Copa Leon.
Yeah, Copa Leon. CopePelion.
Have you guys seen the one that I posted on Tumblr?
Which one? Because actually, maybe not. I check the Tumblr frequently, but maybe I didn't see this
one. I added one on Tumblr a little while ago that I got off of. Like, it's just got, there's the trailer for it, and I think I'm probably going to butcher this name, like, really bad. Kyokai no Kanada? I don't know. But it's got three pictures of, like, from it. And it looks awesome.
That does look really cool, but
I watched the trailer and it looks badass.
Yeah,
and
people. I have. Yeah, I think the first episode just got released of this.
Yeah.
Oh, good to know.
That looks good. I might have to check that out.
Doesn't it look? Dang it! But that, Tumblr.
Like, you should see my anime list right now from this season. There's so many good animes coming out this season. Oh my gosh! Well, because there's another one called Kiro Shio-san, the Hitman. Which is coming out. I think that's what it's called. But it's about a hitman. It's a comedy. But the art for it is, like, super serious. And it's about a hitman who's like, I will kill my target no matter what. And people are like, oh, I'll hire you and stuff. But they hire him for things like cleaning. And, like, house duty, cleaning and gardening and all these, like, menial tasks. But his attitude for everything is like, I will kill my target! You know,
crazy.
And so he's like killing dust and stuff.
Yeah, so like I read that description. I was like, yeah, that sounds up my alley. I'll watch that. I'm gonna go into right now to what I'm actually watching. Like, these are just the new season animes that we've, you know, checked out. We're gonna probably do some reviews for them. What I'm actually watching is what Evan gave to me when we were talking with Evan on the last podcast that he was on. Oh my gosh, I don't even know the name of this anime I'm watching.
Good job.
Well, because he just gave it to me. He's like, here you go. And I was like, thank you. But it's basically a harem anime about a guy who gets washed up on a deserted island after he falls overboard on a ship. And everybody on the island is a girl. All the men have gone away. There's no men on this island anymore.
If you go back to the episode where Evan was on, it's in the description. It's the one with the Kappa punching the dude in the crotch.
Yeah, it was that episode. So I've been watching it. He gave me everything, and I've been watching it, and it's fantastic. It's one of those harem animes where there is fan service in it, but it's very light on the fan service. It's not over the top craziness. So, like, all the girls that they introduce are really, really nice. Like, they're cute. There's certain moe aspects to them. You know, they have the typical, there's this personality of girl, there's this personality of girl, there's this personality of girl. And the story's just really nice. Like, it's not over-sexual, and it's not anything like that. So I've been enjoying it a lot. We'll get you the name of that anime in the description below. It begins with an N, and the second word begins with an A. It's N something A something. There you go.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Evan knows N-word, it. A-word.
It's like, so, where elementary school students talking about curse words.
Yeah. So that's what I've been watching lately.
Anybody else got something?
Just Naruto.
How's that going?
It's going. I think the last three episodes I saw were the first time I've seen Sasuke in, like, I don't know how many episodes. It's
how
been
many
a long
years?
Time since they've picked up on his story.
Is he still a douche?
Yeah, he's still like a crybaby. He's not really as cool a character.
what a brat.
we'll see.
I've been catching up a bit more on, well, rewatching a little bit of Familiar Zero, because that's what I chose to cosplay for Anime Boston.
Yeah.
And I watched, now all I have to do is on Saturday is watch One Piece, and I just watch one episode at a time. And it's a lot easier.
I can imagine. I'm actually, it's funny because, like, as they're being released, I'm like, oh, yeah, Victoria, I'm watching this. You know,
I watched episode 615 while you guys were talking to me about coming onto the podcast today.
Nice.
I was watching it. So I'm like, oh, I got to finish this. Hang on. And Luffy just keeps getting more and more badass. I'm so excited.
With that, you actually mentioned Anime Boston. Just as a quick reminder, guys, we will all be at Anime Boston again this year. It's actually getting really close. The art contest just ended.
So it's a good segue into what our Tapagotchi is for this episode, and we're going to be talking about merchandise.
That's not a good segue, but I'll go with you.
That's a horrible segue.
Okay, so we're talking about merchandise. We're going to talk about our favorite kinds of merchandise, all the different kinds of merchandise that we might not like.
And how all of a sudden you have a pocket full of money, and then it's like, wait a second, where's all my money gone?
Yep.
Because we're anime fans, and that's what we do.
Yep.
So let's start with what you had originally said, figurines. They're probably one of the most popular things that are...
I buy a lot of figurines, so I can talk about this forever, because I've been buying figurines since 2010, about, so... Well, I've actually stopped buying figurines, so I have, like, 2 years' worth of figurines as they come. And I would like to buy them. If I enjoyed the art of them, I bought them as they came out, because as any well-versed figurine purchaser will know, as soon as it's sold out, they pretty much never go back into stock. So if you saw a figurine you like, you had to make sure you bought it. And you usually have to pre-order it, too, because usually when something goes on pre-order... Everybody pre-orders the entire stock until it's out of stock. Unless it's for a show that's not popular. Like, you can pretty much buy any Ichijosen figurine ever without worrying about it going out of stock.
They've got good quote-unquote art.
Yeah. needless to say, I do have some Ichijosen figurines.
A lot of high kicks.
but a lot of the figurines I have is I have a lot of Street Fighter figurines because I love Street Fighter. I have Black Lagoon figurines, because Black Lagoon is awesome. I have a Kenshiro figurine, which is, like, my only male figurine ever in my entire collection. Because they really don't make male figurines. I mean, so, like, you know, go ahead. Yeah, of course the only male figurine they're really going to make is Kenshiro.
They have a lot of Fist of the North Star ones.
I have a male figurine.
Of Edward, right?
Of course! But I just realized, whenever I lose you guys at Anime Boston, I usually find you at the figurine stand.
Yeah, I know.
And now that I'm thinking about it, like, yeah, that's usually where you guys are.
But
and I probably
everywhere.
Wouldn't have even bought my Ed one if I hadn't known you guys, because you were the ones who... I would have been like, I can find this online later, I can find this later. It's a beautiful figurine. It was on sale for, like, I think it was 50. It's probably the most expensive thing I've bought, but it was, like... I've never seen it again after that.
Anyway. Yeah, it'll be tough.
Actually, I've heard you guys enough talking about figurines, so.
But now I'm at the point where buying figurines is, if I see it, like, I'm fine with that. Like, I don't need to own it. You know, I was just like, ah, that's a cool figurine. Yeah, well, I'll openly talk about the most expensive one that I bought. It's one that it was released at one point, and then again, once it sold out, it never came out again because it was so good. It was so popular. It's Ibuki from Street Fighter, and it's a perfect figurine. It's like it's masterfully painted and everything like that. It was $200, and I had to import from Japan because everywhere I looked, it wasn't in America at all. So I had it imported from Japan. And that is probably going to be my most valuable figurine that if I ever resell it. And then of course I have a Juri from Street Fighter. I think I they're all numbered. There's only like 50 made of her alternate costume and 100 made of her regular costume. And I think I have number 35 of her regular costume and number 5 of her alternate costume. So I have two of the same figurines, two different costumes. So like I haven't unboxed them yet. The boxes are actually numbered, which is awesome.
The only other figure that I've ever really wanted to have sought out was this Lord Conti from Fooly Cooly, where it's this green variant. The red variant is really easy to find, and it's just him with his cape and guitar, which is a really cool figurine. But there's the blue variant, which is a super poseable, and it comes with everything. Like every single costume piece that he's ever had in the show, it comes with 50 different pieces that you can put onto him, and you can pose him from like any point in the show. And it comes with like the shotguns that he's used. It comes with the baseball gloves. It comes with the jacket. It comes with the angel costume that he has. It comes with a Takun figurine that you can put on his shoulder. It's so cool, and that's probably my favorite one that's sought out. And that one did go out of stock. And it never came back until last summer when they made a reprinting of it. And it's not selling as fast, so I have a little bit of time to gather up some money to get it myself. But that would probably be my most sought-after one.
Yeah.
Something that you guys probably aren't as into that I was super into was Gunpla, which Gundam plastic models.
Yep.
I was very into those for a while when I graduated college because I had a lot of time on my hands. But I haven't messed with it in a long time. But it can be a very expensive hobby.
Well, and one of the most interesting stories that came out of that was that one guy who 3D modeled one of your Gunplas, and you were like, thanks, that's cool. But did you know that I made that model? And he was like, wow, like.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, I made, so like, a custom version of the Zabania Gundam from Gundam 00, and I did, like, sort of considerable amount of modifications. It doesn't look a lot like the original one, and I'm talking about an actual plastic model, and I was on DeviantArt, and I just found that somebody had made a 3D version of it, but he was...
It was so random.
Yeah, it was random. He gave me credit and stuff, and after I was like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, that was super weird.
But I used to be really into that. I used to have a blog that I would update that hasn't been updated probably in like 2 or 3 years called Gallant Gunpla.
Yeah, I remember that. I still have that in my queue just in case I ever want to be like, I wonder if Dylan's modeling again.
No, I still have a couple models that I haven't put together that I'll probably do, you know, whenever, on a rainy day or whenever I actually feel like it.
That's James is into that too, but he doesn't very often put his together because he's so afraid.
He's so afraid of ruining his model. Yeah. It's just like,
he doesn't open them.
No, yeah, it's... I've several occasions...
He found one at Newbery Comics, and he was like, I want this so much. And I'm like... Didn't get it. He's like, but I'm never going to build it.
Yeah, I've broken, like, the head pieces putting stuff together, like, because the heads are usually the smallest parts, and I'll, like, break the thing that holds it all together and have to super glue everything together. Yeah, it's fun to just put them together, but there are some guys that edit and modify the models to a point that it's just insane. Like, there are some really talented Gunpla artists.
That's awesome. Actually, yeah. Dylan, that reminds me. You got that message, obviously, that I send you of the one of the animes that's coming out this season.
Oh yeah,
the Gundam Build Fighter,
mm-hmm.
Where it's literally Gunpla people like fighting their Gundams with one another. Like they build Gunpla, and then but they like build like scale Gundam Gunpla plastic models, and they fight them. Like it's gonna be something like Bakugan or Yu-Gi-Oh. One of those.
Oh,
one
really?
Of those. Yeah, I think it's gonna be a dual anime.
Gotcha. Sounds cool.
Yeah, from the way I read it, like you know, like Metabots, Beyblades, under those category of animes. You
back
know?
When Toonami was on and Gundam Wing was just starting, they had like a very short run of American Gundam model cartoons because you used to be able to find those in Toys R Us when Gundam Wing was popular.
Mm-hmm.
And like one of the like fun things you could do with it is like you can mix and match, and it showed like this hodgepodge abomination of all these different Gundam pieces put to, on one model.
DVDs.
The next most prominent thing that I have would probably be DVDs.
But, and you know, as DVDs goes, they didn't even have that technology in Star Trek.
Really?
It's probably the most the next most sought after thing that I have. I mean, like, what anime fan doesn't have DVDs?
Or well, torrents.
Yeah. So to get signed,
too. It goes both directions.
And you see, the thing about that is, too, because I usually find that if, unless you have a lot of money to spend, you either spend your money on the manga or you spend the money on DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one way or the other. And I'm not a huge manga reader. Like, I have a lot of manga. I have my own library of manga for like the but only for because I have animes that I really really like, so I usually buy the anime first and then buy the manga.
Yeah, none of my series are complete either. I only have like the first six volumes at most of.
I think the only complete series of manga that I have is all of Hellsing and all of Black Lagoon.
Yeah,
those are my complete mangas.
See, I can tell you a lot of girls will have like the couples that don't end up in the anime will end up in the manga. So, like, I have all of Fruits Basket and all of Fullmetal Alchemist because they ended in the original series without putting them together, and I was pissed. So I'm like, I want to see it. It has to happen. And then, like, Fruits Basket had the most adorable ending ever. Ouran High School Host Club had the most adorable ending ever. And Fullmetal Alchemist had the most adorable ending ever. And then they they made it on Brotherhood, and it was identical, and it was beautiful. And yeah, that happened.
It happened.
I'm sorry.
We can always count on you, Victoria.
As soon as the next box collection of Fairy Tale comes out, I'm getting it, because you know me now. And then in November, oh my god, November,
Thanksgiving?
November 19th. November 19th, One Piece Strong World comes out on DVD from Funimation. I am so excited. I've watched that movie like 7 times in Japanese. I want to watch it in English.
Nice.
It's the Luffy and Nami movie, like.
I know, we covered this last episode.
Exactly! But it's just like, I was that excited when Inuyasha's movie came out too, the second one. Because that's the first time that Inuyasha and Kagome ever kissed, and it was like, finally, goddamn! But then it got awkward, because, like, Sango's trapped to the wall, and Moroku's like, Sango, come here!
And why are you kissing her?
Oh, yeah, it was
bad. I'm tied to this wall!
It was bad. She's like, what the hell are you doing? And, but, yeah. So, I love my DVDs and my manga.
The latest DVD I bought was the re-release of Elfin Lied. They re-released it on Blu-ray, so that's pretty much what I got lately.
Yeah, that's probably where I have actually most of my obsession in merchandise, because I have 3 full copies of Fooly Cooly in my collection.
I remember that. You keep getting them.
I have the first one I ever bought was off of Amazon, and it turned out I bought a bootleg.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Yeah, I bought a bootleg off of Amazon.com, and then I continued to find the DVDs for like $4 each at a movie stop that was the individual releases, which only had 2 episodes on each disc, and it was so cheap that I just bought them, and they come with extra stuff like character design books on the inside, so that was like perfect, you know. And then I bought the re-release that Funimation did on Blu-ray. And then I got one for free. I got a free copy last Anime Boston of a DVD, the re-release of the DVD of Fooly Cooly. So that's actually 4.
That one's mine. Like the free one you just gave to me.
I just gave it to you. Yeah, like I don't need it. Yeah.
I don't think I've watched... Oh, I think I've seen, like, one episode of Fooly Fooly.
What? It's only it's only six episodes.
Well, you know,
you
no
could
one's
do
ever,
that, and you could marathon
see,
that.
See, no one's ever, like, offered to give me the DVDs to borrow.
I have
it's not like
copies.
I know someone with tons of copies or anything. I want to do that for One Piece, but that's going to be a lot of DVD.
You have time. Unless they come out with a new DVD technology that's, like, endless
space.
It's not
even in Star Trek.
Oh, God.
Dylan, what DVDs do you have?
We've got, a lot of Jackie Chan movies. I bought all of Gungrave as it was being released, so I ended up spending like $120 for the whole
set. I did that
set.
Once. Yeah, I did that. I've only done that once.
It's a terrible
choice.
Yeah,
I think that's everyone's story, because then they're like, oh, I don't need to do this.
Yeah. you just wait until the anime comes out in a box set.
That's everybody's first noob move in anime, is like,
it's
I want to buy this as it comes out. I did that with Holic. And I spent so much money.
I did that with Hellgirl. I have all six individual volumes of Hellgirl.
Yeah, because they're like, I think I was paying 27 per DVD.
Yeah.
And there's 7 or 8 over there.
All right, let's move on to something other than DVDs. Everybody has DVDs.
Yeah, everybody knows what DVDs are.
Laserdisc.
Another thing that I...
Beta tapes.
Another thing that I buy a lot of are posters, wall scrolls especially.
Yeah.
I have such a vast array of wall scrolls that I actually have to switch them out, like it kind of make it like
I
a monthly ordeal.
It's weird though that like wall scrolls are a thing because posters are just as abundant in anime as wall scrolls are, but everybody prefers wall scrolls. Anybody know why? I don't know why.
I think you also don't have to worry about them ripping as easily as a poster does.
Well, they still do get kind of, they're made of fabric so they don't roll up and stuff like that.
The problem that I come across with wall scrolls is I gotta keep them away from windows and stuff because they sunwash.
Yeah, they do get sunwashed.
Well, I like how wall scrolls look signed, though, compared to, like, getting DVDs autographed.
That's true, wall scrolls are better autographed.
Yeah, like, because I've got one, I have an Oron one that I had Caitlin Glass sign when I met her, and then I also brought it and Monica Rial signed it, but, like, I love when the voice actors see the wall scroll that they haven't seen before, because Caitlin saw the one, and Haruhi's got, like, a little firefly in her hands, and she went, oh my gosh, there's a firefly, and she drew a heart around it, and I was like, oh my god, best memory ever, but...
She fangirled together.
Best memory ever.
Okay, no, I fangirled hardcore when I met Caitlin Glass. I almost started crying. I was like, I adore, because it's Winry, and like she's always my favorite, and I just, oh my god, it was bad. I don't know if Andrew and Jonathan, if you guys are paying attention, but I was like literally hyperventilating.
We have to moderate our own show to some degree.
I'm so happy.
No, Caitlin, one last thing real quick because we're running out of time. Well, I mean, we still need to talk about where you can buy. That's there was something else we were going to talk about too. Can you think of it?
Should we go to the like creepy thing that people buy, like the pillows?
Yeah, that's what it was. Thank you, Victoria.
I think I only remembered it because I kind of have one.
I love walking around conventions and seeing the hug pillow cases that you can buy. Like, you'll walk by a booth and you'll see one with sticky notes on it because they can't show the whole thing.
Like, oh man. No, there's so many times when I'm walking through a convention, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to be a creepy otaku so bad right now because I just need to have that and I don't know why.
Yeah. Like, the best one were the king-size bed sheets.
Yes, bed sheets.
Of the entire cast of Shuffle completely naked.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And it was sold. It sold on the last day of Anime Boston 1 year. We were there. It was sprawled across the entire back wall of the booth.
I think it was Hendene's booth.
Might have been.
Which if you want to seek out Hendene's stuff, it's not safe for work. They sell a lot of they are basically your import doujin sellers.
Yeah.
Did you guys, there was a story that happened with this, that there was girl cosplayers that would be like, this guy would take pictures of the cosplayers, and then he would sell them on body pillows without what? Their consent. Yeah. No. I read this a little while ago. It scared the crap out of me.
Strange but, news.
And that's as strange as it gets.
Here you go, guys. Yeah, here's your strange news. Yeah, he was taking pictures of girls, and then this girl found it herself on a body pillow, and apparently she was one of his most popular sales.
Did she buy it?
No, she was like, you never got my consent to do this.
I'm surprised they wouldn't be, like, questionable about it. I was like, can I take a picture of the back of your costume, too? I suppose if you're, like, yeah, if you're taking pictures of costumes and not just of the cosplayer, but, like, I would put that into question. It's just like, can I have the front and back of your costume?
And she called, like, the convention people themselves and, like, the people who, like, the head of the dealer's room.
Yeah.
And they told her the vendor was evicted from the convention and would not be allowed back into the dealer's room for the following day.
Oh, my gosh.
And then she received a call from the head of the dealer's room informing her that the pillows were within the vendor's right to sell because they were being marketed as promotional material for his services. Something that was, in fact, allowed, according to the agreement that she signed in February. He was allowed back into the convention to sell the pillows.
That's wild.
It was ridiculous.
But, I mean, if she really did sign something, and she just didn't read it, then technically, yes, that is her fault.
She was also underage.
Oh.
And he didn't check for ID.
So
this keeps getting peeled back. This is an unsolved.
It's
like a big gray ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge mess. I'll post the link to the conversation on Tumblr.
This is a big gray onion.
Anyone who's interested in this lovely situation, you guys can look at it on Tumblr.
So in a big gray pillow right now.
Yeah. Bad.
That is the most wild story I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And the link to it is called The Gray Point.
Is Liam Neeson on there?
It's a girl's like WordPress thing. It's Cosplay Pillows, the actual story.
Wow. I've never even heard of such a thing.
The story has come full circle.
It just kind of shows up and I was like, holy crap.
So I guess what we should, now that we're kind of on the topic of creepy pillows, we should talk about creepy items, obviously, like that you find in the dealer's room, like hentai and stuff.
Well, there's one creepy item that I didn't find. It's not porno. It's just like creepy. The cat ears they were selling this year.
Oh, the brainwave ones.
Yeah, they were like for those who would have no idea what we're talking about. At Anime Boston, there's a stand that had cat ears with a little scanner that goes in front of your forehead, and the ears would move with your thoughts and
with your mood. Like if you were
like as if you were a real cat and those were really your ears.
Yeah, that they've been
selling those. Look so weird.
They've been selling those for a couple years now, actually. It wasn't
with the brainwave and everything.
Yeah. They've been selling them on JList, where that's like my main Japanese import site that I go to. They've been selling them on there for a couple years now.
I find them so strange.
And they make them in a couple different colors. They make white ones, black ones, camo ones, pink ones, I think.
Camo ones?
Yeah, they make camo ones, which is wicked cool. But yeah, I actually think those are really cool. And they're hilarious, too, because when they're an idol, like when they're not up or down or, like, you know, moving with your thoughts, they randomly twitch like a cat. Like you're just standing there and they start twitching.
Of course you would think they're cool.
I think they're funny. I think they're funny. It's hilarious. I mean, they look creepy on a real person, but I think it's a funny idea.
Yeah. I got a funny story about a creepy item. It actually happened to me. It was at MegaCon, I think, one year. There was this booth selling manga, and they were like individual chapters of manga too, and I walked up to the booth because there was like a whole bunch of people standing, you know, standing around, and I was looking through to see them. And it didn't take me long to realize that when I was thumbing through the box that I had chosen, that there were only dudes on all of them, and they were all familiar dudes too. Like I was like, "Oh, cool, Soul Eater. Oh, cool, Gurren Lagann." You know, and I was like, "If something was." Slowly dawning on me that something was very wrong. And I realized that while I was looking around, there were only girls around me. And so I took a step back from the booth and realized that they were all standing in front, like there were so many girls, they were covering this rainbow flag banner that said Yaoi printed across the entire thing.
Oh my god.
And it was like, Simon and Kamina are hugging on the front of this.
I don't remember this happening in the anime.
That's not canon.
Yeah. So I walked up to the yaoi section of a booth one time, and I was thoroughly startled by what I saw in there. And I probably got a whole lot of fangirls giggling over me.
Well, it comes down to what's funny about at least my view of doujins. Because when you go to a dealer's room, usually there's always a doujin seller. Now, last year at Anime Boston, there were completely zero, like 100% zero, 100% 0% hentai sellers. There was absolutely no hentai last year at Anime Boston, except for Media Blasters, because they sell regular DVDs and hentai. But there were no doujin sellers at Anime Boston, which... Generally, when I go to an anime convention, yes, I'll admit it, I thumb through them because I think it's hilarious to, like, look through them, find a character that, like, you're familiar with, and just be like, ah, look at this character put in this hilarious situation that they'll never actually be in. You know, like, it's kind of like a novelty game where you look through it and it's like, this is fun. And usually the people who run those booths are hilarious because they have no shame. So if you talk to, like, the sellers at doujin booths and gaming booths and stuff like that, they're usually really funny because they'll talk to you about anything.
All right, let's just touch lightly on one last piece, which is which is where you can find a lot of items.
Yeah, so...
Anime conventions.
Yes, I think we covered that one. Anime there conventions. You can find a lot of stuff at anime conventions. If you want to find some really good Japanese import stuff, though,
the one I use a lot is JList.com or JBox.com. If you're not over 18, use JBox, because JList sells
everything
from Japan. And when I say everything, I mean, like, the sex toys from Japan as well. And hentai mangas and DVDs and JAVs, and if you don't know what JAV is, it's Japanese adult video. So they sell and magazines like monthly issued magazines
that aren't always porn.
No, yeah, you can buy like fashion magazines and stuff too. Which I buy the fashion magazines because they're good for drawing references and stuff like that. But yeah, JList and JBox, they sell awesome Japanese stuff, and they also sell the figurines there, but they sell out instantly.
Yeah, Hobby Fan is a good place for those.
Yo, yeah, Hobby Fan. I buy a lot of figurines on Hobby Fan. Hobbyfan.com
or Hobby Link Japan.
Yeah, Hobby Link Japan is another one.
I use Amazon a lot.
Amazon's really legit, like, for even selling... Because they get a hold of some of that stuff, too, and it doesn't sell out as fast because people aren't seeking them out on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for something to buy from either a seller or a regular person, Amazon's really good for finding out-of-print stuff.
Yeah, it's actually where I got my One Piece flag, was on Amazon.
Okay, yeah.
And it wasn't that expensive, either.
No, Amazon's awesome for deals. Like, because all the import sites are expensive. Amazon has really, really good deals on everything.
I end up buying a lot of DVDs from... If it's not a convention, I'll go to Movie Stop. Because we have one out here in Fitchburg.
Well, yeah. Movie Stop is amazing for anime.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Because there was one time where we found Paranoia Agent. I bought all of Paranoia Agent in the individual DVDs because they had the entire set of it. And they were selling them for individually. And then one day we went into Movie Stop and they had the complete collection of Paranoia Agent in one DVD box set. So like one or two discs in one disc. But they thought it was one of the individual volumes of it. And they were selling it for $3 because they thought it was volume one of it, not the complete collection.
Damn.
Yeah, so that was straight luck.
And that's where I found all of the Fooly Cooly individual DVDs.
Another really great website for anime DVDs is Right Stuff.
I was going to say that. That's the other one I use.
Yeah, because they almost all the time, like 100% of the time, usually, you'll find a deal on a DVD. Everything is always cheaper on Right Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I also go to Anime Nation. Anime Nation's pretty good.
I haven't been there in a while, but I used to go there too.
Yeah, they also. It's funny because Anime Nation has a forum set where you don't just talk about buying merchandise. You can talk about anything anime related. I don't read the forums. I just thought it was interesting that they have like a community along with buying stuff.
It's time to move on to some fan service. We got a couple things.
We do have a couple things for fan service. Let's start with Scott's answer, where Scott was talking about underrated anime. So so what Scott said was, an underrated anime I would suggest is Sci-Fi Harry. In the 2000s era of mystery anime, like Boogie Pop Phantom, Serial Experiment, Lane, Elfin Lied, and Paranoia Agent, it's one which I had never seen mentioned. It's set in the in a, like a 50s-esque America involving like the Men in Black, psychics, and television. So it's like retro future kind of a thing, as from what I'm seeing, all about aliens and extraterrestrial stuff. So that actually sounds kind of cool. I've never even heard of it, believe it or not. Yeah, it's, I think it's kind of in the realm with Boogie Pop Phantom, like you mentioned. A lot of people don't know about Boogie Pop Phantom. That's a weird anime. And then he said an overrated anime that he would actually like is Tenchi, the Tenchi Universe. Now, what he said was, he's from England, so I believe the Tenchi titles were a lot more popular. Like, they're popular here, but not as popular as they were in England. Because that was probably one of the premier animes that they got over there. What I said to him was, kind of the same way that in Spain and Mexico, they made a Spanish dub of an anime called Saint Seiya. And all of my Spanish friends, Latin American friends, everything, they all say their favorite anime is Saint Seiya. And it's because that's one of the few animes that got a straight Spanish dub to it. So in Saint Seiya is huge in Latin American countries. So I think the same way where Tenchi is probably huge in the UK and all the in England and everything like that, which is kind of cool, which is kind of interesting to me, because it's kind of interesting to see where specific animes get huge. And and then finally he asked if Akira technically was considered an overrated anime, kind of like the way we said maybe Evangelion is one, where I'm not really sure. That I think that's kind of a gray area, and because what I said to him was, not many animes, or generally an anime is overrated when people are talking about it, constantly cosplaying it, you know, it's being overfed with information, where Akira's not really like that. You know, you don't see many people cosplaying Akira, nor discussing it on a regular basis. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I don't think it's overrated. I think it is more of a cult classic type thing.
So, and that's what I told him. I was like, that's a really good question, a really good thought. So, I don't, but in my personal opinion, I don't think it is. But, I mean, it depends. I would say that's up for opinion, basically. So, I don't know. Maybe, I don't, Scott didn't tell me whether or not he thought it was overrated.
Our fan Kyle sent us some endings that he hated. And he says that a show that he liked, but the ending was completely terrible, was Zammed.
Yeah, if you guys don't remember, that was that Bones anime that originally was
good, because I never finished it.
Yeah,
I've seen a couple of it.
Yeah, it was only premiered on the PS3 originally, and he said that
it's on
the
Hulu now or Netflix. It's on one of the streaming services.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
He said it was very reminiscent of Eureka 7, but it's only like, say you were watching Eureka 7, but they didn't explain anything about, or like the coral or the trappers or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, got that. It was basically all the confusing parts of Eureka 7.
that just had no answers to them at all.
I never finished it, so I never got to see what got answered.
Apparently he said nothing. So he asked us what are some of the best anime endings of all time. Now, I don't know, are we all in agreement on, like, Dylan, what would you say is the best anime ending, or one of the best anime endings of all time?
It doesn't even have to be a best.
I don't know why, but the first thing that came to mind was Kids on a Slope. I really like the way that ended.
That's a good answer, because my answer to him was, probably for me, the best ending I ever have ever seen and probably will ever see is Cowboy Bebop. That to me was a perfect ending to a TV series.
I'm trying to think of one. I mean, I really like the ending to Foolie Cooley because they leave it open, but they also answer all of the questions.
Yeah, so
I love the fact...
That's the same with Brotherhood. They kind of, like, do the same way.
Yeah, because, like, I love the fact that, you know, at the end of Foolie Cooley, you know where Haruko goes. She's continuing her journey, but it's Nauta's story, so Nauta is ending. He's got his friends still. He gets to keep Conti, which I was super excited about. He gets his robot in the end, and he's grown up. He's a grown up kid now. You know, good ending.
So those are some of the best anime. Now here's something that that I don't know if we want to throw in the hat is where TV series, you watch a TV series and they make their own terrible ending, but then you go ahead and read the manga and that has an actual complete ending. Does that count?
Not really, because if we were talking about bad endings in anime, then the manga is kind of its own...
That's true, its own entity.
However, we can't... I would mention that if you have an anime that has a bad ending, find the manga and finish the manga, because they have completely different endings. And they actually probably continue on from where the anime ended.
Yeah, and I would certainly say that that way, instead of... It kind of turns the TV show non-canon, because the manga will always come out first and will always be canon material. So if you want a canon ending, read the manga and then forget the TV show.
All right, next up for fan service, we have our fan, Joe.
Yeah, he just, this is pretty cool. So Joe came to us one day and said, "Hey, I bought a figurine. If I take pictures of it, would you guys analyze it for me to see if it's a bootleg?" And I said, "Sure." You know, I mean, I made that How to Spot a Bootleg episode. I mean, I certainly don't think I'm a professional or anything at this kind of a thing, but I certainly know what I'm talking about with all the figurines I've bought in the past. So I took a look at it and looked at what he had. You know, the paint was good. The material held up fine. It was one of those figurines that was stuck to the stand.
Yep, it was bolted on there.
It was bolted onto the stand. And generally, when that happens, that's a good sign that it's not a bootleg, mostly because it would be way too expensive to buy that many screws for a bootleg and, you know, actually, like, do a good job screwing the actual figurine onto the platform.
Yeah, plus it came all in one piece, which if it's a one-piece PVC, then you have a... Then that is usually a good sign.
Well, and then from the pictures that I saw, I couldn't see any of the seams. Generally, when you have a bootleg figurine, the seams are really, really visible because they don't shave them down correctly. Right. They just take it out of the mold and peel them off like it's nothing. The seams were kind of almost... They weren't visible, so it was good. I thought it was good. So that was a pretty cool adventure. I'd never had anybody ask us, you know, "Hey, is this a bootleg or not?" I don't know. It's cool.
So let's then move on to shameless plugs.
You made it to the end, guys. Shameless Woo! Plugs.
Good job.
Okay.
Final lap.
So, all right. So here's what we're going to do. We have our Facebook page where you can find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we frequently discuss anime, cool things that are happening, news stories, different funny activities. And then we have our Nerdy Show page where you can go to nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can find this podcast that you're listening to if you're not listening to it on iTunes. And you can also find our other review episodes. Speaking of the review episodes, you can find us on youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where we post, where we semi-frequently post videos, reviews, topics, discussions. I still have a new episode that might be out by the time this episode is posted on our emo. And then, let's see, we have our Tumblr page, which is tumblr.com/wickedanime, where Victoria holds domain over usually. Mm-hmm. We have. She also has a Twitter. You can tweet her at Wicked A Fangirl. And if you want to contribute to our discussion, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That is wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. You can ask us anything, guys. It can be about the discussion we talked about today, conventions, you know, upcoming Anime Boston things.
Your favorite piece of swag.
Yeah, whatever. You know, we love getting mail from our fan mail.
We like getting asked questions.
Yeah, so you can actually drop us a Tumblr ask, too, on our Tumblr page.
Which we have gotten a couple Tumblr asks in the past. I miss those. Those are fun.
We haven't in a while, guys. Please come right on the Tumblr. Otherwise, I'm just looking at random shit and being bored. So,
posting all the hentai that she sees. Like, yeah.
No!
This is awesome.
No.
Pervert. It's not true.
Yeah, no, it's not true.
It's not true. So is that it? Is that everything?
Yeah, that's everything.
Let's probably. Get out of here.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast this week. We'll see you in the next 2 weeks.
Goodbye.
All right. Time to sign off the only way we know how.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
You want to find that? Yeah. Those are some real issues facing the world right there.
I just noticed anytime I move on my bed, the microphone picks it up. So now I kind of can't move.
That's all right. I have to deal with Dylan like scratching his microphone every 5 seconds in the recording.
Scratching the microphone.
Yeah, every time you move or like breathe real heavy, it comes up as like whoa, whoa, on the recording. Yeah, well, you have to get rid of it.
There's not a whole lot I can do about that.
Just saying. Stop breathing.
Stop breathing. We're not allowed to breathe.
Quit it.
People pick peppers plentifully. I don't know how that goes.
Isn't it Peter Piper picked a sack of pickled peppers or something like that?
That's probably a bit closer to what I was going with.
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast. The Wicked Anime Podcast is made possible by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of listeners like you. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling friends, rating, and reviewing us on iTunes, or making a contribution in our monthly support drive. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com and click the support button on the top of the page. For more episodes of the Wicked Anime Podcast, as well as other fine programming, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all the Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on your favorite social network. It's Wicked A!